fans, we complain about everything. We're never happy.
I didn't realize that. I
yeah,
mean, but,
we're never happy.
But you own it. I mean, yeah. You don't try and, you know.
Real quick, as we get out of here, the big news for the dudes is what?
Going to be have a restaurant downtown, brick and mortar, great bar. I mean, even better food, a place for you guys and ladies, everyone to come hang out and give me hell, which I love when you'll do that, so it's going to be fun.
I'll be what they would call a regular.
Right. It'll be called Two Dudes Brew and Q.
I've got a drink on the menu.
Yeah, you're going to have a drink on the menu. Maybe in a few days we're going to announce the name of it. It's going to be really cool, man.
Looking forward to it. All
it's
right, Mark
awesome.
Cavo, great news for him. For Tabes, you know who I am. In some capacity, we'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll see you then.
The Sports Company with Sean Fox has been presented by Bud Light. Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for The Sports Company on 97.7. Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
What up? Lead Tech Blue Radio is back. We've had one show in the last 6 weeks, but we're back better than ever. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Another week with Ben and Beck. Beck, how you doing tonight?
Good, BC. Glad to be back. I took a little time off. Let my good buddy Sutton Davison fill in and let him soothe your ears with his voice. And I'm back and glad to be in the studio.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you back. Obviously, a lot going on in Louisiana Tech athletics. You know, since you've been in, the football season has wrapped up. Basketball season is well underway. We talked about it at length a couple of weeks ago when Sutton and I were back in from our little Christmas New Year's break. Louisiana Tech defeats SMU 51-10. I know you and I and Sutton were able to make the trip over to Frisco. You know, just to start things off, kind of your thoughts on that game and really Louisiana Tech's season as a whole and what you see headed into 2018.
For the bowl game, I was incredibly shocked and obviously pleasantly surprised. It was a lot of fun to go to. I think that was huge for Tech just to get into that Dallas market and to play so well against a pretty good team. And honestly, I mean, I know they had the coaching issues, but with the coach leaving and Sonny Dykes coming in, and they were a little disorganized, had the GA calling the plays. So you can say that was attributed to that, but Tech just came out and hit them in the mouth early. That was a ton of fun to see. It reminded me a little bit of 2012.
So your favorite season
my
in tech
favorite
history.
Season in Tech history. It's the only one I really want to talk about. And so it was a lot of fun. You and I and Sutton had a good time. It just felt like college days. Tech was excited. There was a lot of good energy. The place was packed. I thought Tech faithful showed up. That was really, really encouraging. And honestly, for that bowl game, I think everybody was a little bit down. And then the announcement of the bowl game kind of sparked a good interest. And we did not – Tech didn't play that well at the end of the season, and so to get some excitement building, I was concerned about the excitement going into the bowl game, but to get that built up and then for us to play so well and to beat SMU, a good program, it was about as good of a situation as it could have been.
Yeah, it was an incredibly exciting game. You know, obviously with signing day being held on the same day, that's what we cover a lot of at BleedTechBlue.com. You can join us for just $9.95 a month. Louisiana Tech was able to sign 13 prospects that day on December 20th before picking up a commitment the next day on December 21st by linebacker Connor Taylor. I believe that had really a direct reflection on how impressive Tech was that night. You know, we're going to get into recruiting a little bit later in the show, but here we are, January 23rd. The late signing period is looming, you know, a couple weeks from now on February the 7th. Tech's got, you know, three more guys already committed. They've been committed for quite some time. DeAndre Marcus, Elijah Hines, and Devon Smoke Harris out of West Feliciana. And then, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later about what really Tech's looking to finish out this class with as they get ready for 2018. I think, you know, we talk about 2018. Louisiana Tech obviously has some momentum headed into next year. Today, Louisiana Tech Athletic Director Tommy McClellan comes out with the 2018 football schedule. Louisiana Tech will host five games.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise. I didn't realize that since we had seven home games last year that we would have less this year. But, I mean, it's not a terrible schedule, but I'm not super excited about the home games.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in our next segment. Our next segment, we're going to break down, full breakdown of this schedule, what we think of it. We're going to go opponent by opponent. You know, we're going to get Tabor in. He's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the key matchups, some of the big matchups. Obviously, a home schedule that, you know, may not be too appealing to fans, but I think it's a great opportunity for Louisiana Tech to, you know, regain that home dominance that they sometimes lost this year. Hopefully, go 5-0 at Joe A. Stadium this year. And then we'll talk about some tough road games that Tech has at LSU and Mississippi State as well.
Do you think having a 5-0 home stretch against teams that may not be as competitive is better for the program versus a couple of really tough games at home that maybe we drop one or two?
Well, it's tough to, you know, look at it from that perspective, but when you look at the losses Tech had at home this year, when you look at Mississippi State and in front of such a big crowd, losing to North Texas on homecoming, a crowd that was less than stellar, losing to Florida Atlantic in front of a crowd that was less than stellar, I think, you know, more importantly, is Tech needs to win at home. You know, you might not have 25,000 in the seats, but if you're winning home games, fans are going to keep coming back every week versus, you know, playing sloppy and, you know, might see a loss. So I think it's big for Tech to regain that home dominance that we have all grown accustomed to.
Right. I agree with that. I'm just curious. I mean, I know like Mississippi State came in last year, and that was a high-anticipated, high-energy game, even though obviously Tech didn't play the way that we would have hoped. It was still – I mean, I enjoyed seeing a high-profile team like that come into Ruston. But next year, two big SEC games on the road. So
absolutely. And then a little more scheduling news. Louisiana Tech Athletic Director Tommy McClellan also announced that Louisiana Tech has agreed to a three-game series with North Carolina State that will begin in 2021. The two programs will face off again in 2024 and 2025 as well. We'll break down that in the next segment as well. Coming up at 6:30, you know, I know we want to get into it a little bit about the Duncan Dawgs. They've, you know, they went through an early conference struggle, going 1-5 before winning two straight this last week against North Texas and Rice. It's a young team. It's a team that's been, you know, brittled with injuries, with Daquan Bracey missing quite a few games here lately. We'll talk with Chris McKee of Mid-Major Madness. You know, one thing about Chris, I reached out to him. He had a pretty good interview on his Mid-Major Madness site about Coach Conkle and how Coach Conkle has had so much success throughout his career, whether it be as an assistant with Jim Larrañaga at George Mason when they went to the Final Four or when the two moved down to Miami and had so many successful years there in the ACC. I know this has been tough on Coach Conkle, but, you know, I have a lot of confidence in him that he'll get things turned around.
Right, it's just a little early season adversity and, you know, especially with some team
issues. Some chemistry issues.
Some chemistry issues for sure with some of those players. And so I think, you know, they can overcome that, and this is something they're just going to have to band together, dropping some conference games early and then being able to bounce back. I think they're going to be a different basketball team closer to the end of the season than they are now.
Yeah, and we'll break down the schedule too as well. It really lightens up here headed down the stretch. So we'll talk with Chris McKee. One side note about Mr. McKee. Have you ever heard of the Wu-Tang Clan?
I have in my early days of college.
Well, Chris is the former agent of the Wu-Tang Clan, and he's going to come on and, I don't know, he wrote a book or something, and he asked if he could promote it. So, you know, it might be interesting for you music fans out there to hear what Chris has to say on the hip-hop front.
Kind of a man of many talents, you know, entertainment to sports. I'm excited to have him on.
What more could you ask for in a guest? And then at 6:45, we'll really just take a look around Conference USA, break down the basketball season. Obviously, Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee are tied atop the standings right now with Louisiana Tech really, you know, in the lower third of the conference at 3-5. But like I said, schedule lightens up. Hopefully they can climb back into things. At 7 o'clock, Aaron and Jake on the Morning Drive had a pretty cool segment this morning, kind of ranking the SEC coaches, kind of what they thought 1 through 14 in the SEC. We're going to take a look around Conference USA football coaches, see where we think Skip Holtz fits in amongst his peers in Conference USA. That'll be a shortened segment as at 7:10, we have Fred Siegel coming on. And you ask, who is Fred Siegel?
Who is Fred Siegel, Ben?
Well, let me tell you about Fred Siegel. He runs a Twitter account called Freezing Cold Takes. If you look it up on Twitter, it's also called Old Takes Exposed. It's at Old Takes Exposed. I believe they have around 129,000 followers. And what Fred does is he goes and he pulls out all these hot takes that, you know, your favorite Skip Bayless likes to pull on a weekly basis and just say dramatic things. And he calls out all these, you know, national media and sports writers on a weekly basis. And quite honestly, I think it's pretty funny to see how irritable these guys get when he calls them out on Twitter. So he'll join us at 7:10, and he's dug into some things, and he's found us some pretty cool things. I know he's a big Florida fan, so we'll talk a little bit about Mike White. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, when Jeff Driskel transferred into Tech as well. We'll get into a little bit about Skip Holtz and what South Florida folks were saying on Twitter when Skip Holtz was relieved of his duties for that program as well. So I'm really excited to talk to Fred Siegel. I know he has very little to do with Louisiana Tech, but, hey, he's a good interview, and we like good interviews on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
You're absolutely right. On the freezing cold takes, that honestly sounds a whole lot like our fantasy football group message.
It does.
There's a lot of screenshots and a lot of going back and proving people wrong. So this is right up Ben and I's alley, and we're excited to have him on.
Absolutely. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit before we get to the break. Also, one quick thing before we talk a little bit about Louisiana Tech football in 2018. Tech did pick up a local kid, a transfer from TCU. He's a Bastrop High School product, and Isaiah Graham. Isaiah's a wide receiver. He caught 8 passes at TCU over 2 years. He committed to Louisiana Tech. We reported it on BleedTechBlue.com. Not bragging or anything, but you know we do cover Louisiana Tech recruiting better than anyone in the area. We reported this back on December the 2nd. He made it official last Sunday that he was pledging his commitment to Louisiana Tech. So nice pickup for Skip Holtz. He'll sit out 2018 before having 2 years of eligibility left. But it's always nice to add another playmaker to the receiving corps.
Right. I wish we could have him in 2018. That would be helpful.
Absolutely. And then, as always, you can join us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your takes on the Louisiana Tech football schedule. We'd love to hear from you on your takes on the three-game series that Tech signed with NC State that includes a home game in Joe Addy Stadium in 2025 when Beck and I will be 33 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's when NC State will come to Tech. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Duncan Dogs, what Coach Conkle has done. And let me touch a little bit on Coach Conkle and what he has done for this program. Obviously, you know, you look at back at his first season, they win 23 games. Conference USA Player of the Year, Alex Hamilton, carries that team throughout the year. He's now playing in the NBA G League. What would you say, Alex Hamilton, one of the best players that certainly we've seen come through here. I think he ended his career as the number 3 all-time leading scorer. So, you know, standout player.
He was smooth.
He was really smooth. Then you look at a year ago, Coach Conkle wins another 23 games. Eric McCree, who's now in the NBA G League as well, an elite scorer. And then fast forward to this year. You have one senior, Jacoby Boykins. You have Jalen Harris leaves the program. Like Beck mentioned earlier, some chemistry issues within the program. Call it what you want. Call it addition by subtraction. When you lose your leading scorer, you're going to struggle some. And then just to top things off, Daquan Bracey's been out with a back injury. I'm not one to sit here and criticize the job that Coach Conkle's done. It's a young basketball team. Amari Archibald, Anthony DeRuggie. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that DeRuggie was just named the Conference USA Freshman of the Week. Those two are playing at a high level now that they've seen their minutes go up. Hang in there. Hang in there with Coach Conkle. Keep getting out to the Tomless Assembly Center. I know Louisiana Tech's dropped three home games this year after only dropping, I think it was four in the last, 5 years.
We had that streak for a long time.
Yeah, so. Had a 39-game streak until I think Old Dominion knocked Tech off in Ruston a couple of years ago. So stick with them. I think this team is going to turn a corner here late in conference play, and who knows, make a run in the conference tournament, and you're headed to the big dance.
That's right. Yeah, all the Conkle doubters, just stick with them. Like Ben said, come out to the Tech, support the Dogs. They need Tech fan faithful, and it's going to be it'll be all right. It'll be different at the end of the year. It'll be a different team, and they'll be playing well together.
Well, yeah, and basketball is such a momentum sport, and fans can really have a big impact on games from my point of view. So yeah, like Beck said, like I said, get out to the Tech, support these guys. They host Southern Miss Saturday night, 6 o'clock tip off. So we're going to go ahead and get to our first timeout after the break. We're going to take a look at Louisiana Tech's 2018 football schedule. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen. Fan food. Not fast food.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Louisiana Tech has announced their 2018 football schedule. Before we get to it real quick, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that former Louisiana Tech punter, two-time Ray Guy Award winner Ryan Allen, punter for the New England Patriots, is headed to his third Super Bowl after his New England Patriots. Remember, I said his New England Patriots as he leads that team. He had a great second half against the Jaguars, pinning them back deep in their own territory many times. But he's headed back to his third Super Bowl.
He's won
1-2.
1-2.
Yes.
Man, what a career. I remember we used to just be laughing in the stands. Just at how far he would kick that football.
And now he'll pin it on the two.
I mean, you never get excited about it. I mean, I didn't used to get excited about a punter, and now I just have a lot of respect for those guys after seeing how far Ryan Allen could boot the ball and pin people down and compared to some shankopotamuses that are in the league now.
And I have a question for you while we're on the NFL topic. College or NFL? Are you more of a college football fan or an NFL fan? What do you more enjoy watching more?
I'll give you a two-part answer. NFL, because of our fantasy league.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh man, I just wish the listeners could just get a taste of our fantasy football league. It changed the way I watched the NFL. I'm gonna be your average Joe and tell you all the antics and the politics and all that stuff of the NFL does frustrate me, because I like to watch sports for an escape. I don't like to mend those two worlds together. Now my argument for college, sometimes the quality of football is just unwatchable, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
But I think there is like a passion that those
players.
I think
there's more passion in college.
Right, and there's some, I mean, and there's not many exciting games like there are in college football. So there's a part of me that votes for that. And honestly, like, even just like the Baker Mayfields of the world, like,
make it so much more.
Yeah,
fun.
Like I get it. Like he is annoyingly like obnoxious, but like I think that's just how
he's
is.
Tantalizing.
He's got
can't miss television.
Yeah, and he's just got like a it's the same reason we may hate Johnny Manziel, but we love to watch him. Like, yep. It's the same thing. So there's a lot more of those guys. So from that perspective, but if you're gonna make me pick one, I mean, there's less NFL games that I'm just not interested in. Compared to college football? Now, yeah. I know there's a lot more teams in college football, but on any given Sunday, I can be interested in an NFL game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick NFL.
All right. Yeah, I'm a college guy. You know, like you said, I watch NFL all day on Sundays, but that's more due to the fantasy aspect. And I think that's one thing that NFL has going for it. But we've strayed way off topic. We're way off topic. Let's get back.
Way off topic.
Yeah, let's get back to looking at Louisiana Tech's 2018 schedule. Like we mentioned in the open, Louisiana Tech will host 5 home games, 7 road games in 2018 after 7 home games, 5 road games in 2017. Just going down through the schedule, September 1st, Louisiana Tech will open up on the road in Mobile at South Alabama. That's a South Alabama team that is breaking in a new coach. You know, he's coming over from Central Arkansas. His name escapes me right now. But Tech defeated the Jaguars 34-16 this year. Tech returns home on September the 8th. To host Southern, that'll be Tech's, you know, FCS game for the year.
What I do love about Southern is they bring some fans.
Oh, they travel.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, that can't be overstated. The fan base for Southern out of Baton Rouge is outstanding. Tech will then have a bye week in week 3 before going on the road to face a quality SEC opponent. Second best team in the state, LSU.
I'd love to hear from the listeners. See what their predictions are about that game.
I think, you know, you look at it being a bye week before that. I'll go out and say it. I'll tell you my opinion on it. Tech has a golden opportunity. If they want to change the landscape and, you know, even things out a little bit more in this state from a recruiting aspect, going on the road in LSU will obviously do big things. LSU will be breaking in a new quarterback. We've heard about all the turmoil down there this offseason.
They may have a passer this time, though.
Yeah, you're right. Miles Brennan, first time
since Mettenberger. I mean,
oh yeah, Miles Brennan's going to be a good quarterback, but it'll be just his third game. So Tech has an opportunity to go down there and possibly, you know, give the Tigers a good game, which I'm certainly hoping for. After LSU, Tech will open conference play on the road at North Texas for the 5th consecutive year, and for the life of me, I can't fathom why Tech has started on the road in conference play for 5 straight years.
Yeah, and that's the 4th year in a row we've started, or 4th year in a row we've played in North Texas.
Yeah. No, just the 5th year in a row we started on the road.
Okay.
This past year Tech played at Western Kentucky. You know, it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but when you look at it, going on the road to the West Division champ, that's a tough conference game right out of the gate. Seth Luttrell is doing a great job. Mason Fine will be a junior at quarterback, so that's going to be a tough start to conference play for Tech. They'll then return home to face Bill Clark and his UAB Blazers. Tech will be looking for some revenge.
Oh, my gosh, Will. I mean, that'll be a good game. I'm sure that UAB will travel decently, and that'll be – man, that was a heartbreaker.
It was.
Last year, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Tech lost in 2017 on the blocked field goal. In the final seconds, Tech will then travel to UTSA the next weekend, a UTSA team under Frank Wilson. They lose Dalton Sturm at quarterback. I really expect them. I know they missed a bowl game this year, I think they went 6-5, but I think they'll take another step back. You know, I just I'm not a believer in what they're building down there. UTEP then comes to Ruston. We know what UTEP is. They're a terrible program. 0-12. I know they've made a change at head coach, bringing in Dana Dimmel from Kansas State, but I just don't think he'll have an opportunity to turn things around in year one. And then you look at October 27th. This might be the toughest two-game stretch of the year when you go to Conference USA champ Florida Atlantic, followed by a road trip to Starkville to take on Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough little stretch.
Lane Kiffin. Did you see that Lane Kiffin's quarterback, Jason Driscoll, brother of Jeff Driscoll, he's made the decision to forego his final year of eligibility. He said that, you know, he's gotten all out of football. He's gotten everything out of football that he was looking to get out of it. And he's decided to forego his final year and head into the real world. Great for the young man.
No aspirations of going to the draft or anything?
Nothing like that. So
he's good, just done good with for football.
Him. Yeah, I think he's like a chemical engineering major. So I think he'll probably do well for himself.
Okay, so who they got behind him?
They got DeAndre Johnson, the Florida State transfer. And I think also read that they have an Oklahoma transfer. Okay. So Lane Kiffin has no shortage of quarterbacks down there in Boca Raton. Then the following week, traveling to Mississippi State, it's a tough venue. I know Tech took one on the chin a couple years ago when Dak Prescott was quarterback in the Bulldogs. Nick Fitzgerald will obviously be coming off a gruesome injury against Ole Miss that, the visual of that was rough.
Yeah, I never actually looked at the picture or watched the replay in detail. I'm kind of squirmish when it comes to that. But I only heard just how – and then what I didn't understand is, like, how he was on the sideline for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was
– apparently they popped that back in. But tough kid. It'll be
– Yeah, hopefully he makes it back.
Yeah, I really do. I think it'll be good for him to come back. And
then you look at the final three games of the season. Tech finishes with two out of their last three at home when they host Rice, a bad Rice team that's also breaking in a new coach in Mike Bloomgren, who is formerly the offensive coordinator at Stanford. Tech will then travel to Hattiesburg to take on Southern Miss, a Southern Miss team that, I'll be honest with you, they've owned the Bulldogs in recent years.
Yeah, they're Tech's kryptonite for sure.
And then Tech wraps it up. Final week of the season, Thanksgiving week, the week where Tech has trouble drawing fans, hosting Western Kentucky. So just looking at this 12-game slate, five road games, seven home games. I mean, five home games, seven road games. Going through it, you know, I see South Alabama, Southern, UAB, UTEP, Rice, Western Kentucky. I see six sure wins for Tech right there.
Can you even say sure wins?
Oh, I can, because I think Tech's defense is going to be really good in 2018. And then, you have to imagine that J'Mar Smith takes a step forward. So, right now, this is before spring ball, I'm going to say Tech finishes 7-5 next year.
Okay, I like that. I'm just hesitant to – I mean, we know what happened last year.
Yeah.
So, in regards to J'Mar, let me ask you this. You and I, we sometimes disagree on J'Mar, but we can agree on some of his inconsistent play throughout 2008 or 2017. What has he got to do in your mind to improve? Is it from a statistical standpoint?
I think.
What are you expecting?
For me, it's mental. For me, it's taking the easy throw, taking the check down, moving the chains, keeping those chains rolling, and putting together more consistent 10 to 12 play drives that are going to be needed that, you know, quite frankly, Tech didn't have a lot of this year. I know Tech was battered with injuries, throughout 2017 at the receiver position, but like it or not, Boston Scott and Jared Kraft are gone. J'Mar's going to have a lot more on his shoulders as a redshirt junior. He's going to have to be able to throw the ball around the yard 40 times for Tech to have some success. And he has the talent. I think we can both agree on that.
Yeah,
he has the talent, but he has to show the ability to put it together for four quarters.
Yeah, I'm probably more of a critic of J'Mar, and not that, like, I don't think he's terrible by any means, but I just question whether he has the it factor. And it's not even necessarily bigger numbers for me that I would hope and expect out of him. It's just, I mean, he wasn't a turnover machine or anything like that, but I do hope to see some smarter plays. There was some big plays in the early of the season just that we wish we could have, Tech wishes they could have had back for sure. And if I'm being completely honest, I think it'll be a lot more of the same from J'Mar, but I hope I'm wrong.
Absolutely. So Tabor, just looking at this Tech schedule, your early thoughts on how many games you think Louisiana Tech will win?
It just seems like a 7-win season.
I'm with you.
I know that's just kind of right down the middle. I don't want to be too optimistic, but I do feel like that they will be improved from this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. And before we get to our timeout and get to Chris McKee of Mid-Major Madness, Louisiana Tech Athletic Director Tommy McClellan announced a 3-game series with North Carolina State. Louisiana Tech will travel to Raleigh in 2021 for a money game before they will have a home-and-home in that will start in Raleigh in 2024 before Louisiana Tech will host the Wolfpack in 2025. As far as the money game goes in 2021, Tech will collect a $1.1 million paycheck. So a nice addition to the schedule for Louisiana Tech. So let's go ahead and get to our next timeout. After the break, we'll be joined by Chris McKee of Mid-Major Madness. We'll talk a little bit Duckin' Dog basketball. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined in studio by Beck Haynes. We now go to the Fairway Carts Hotline, where we're joined by Chris McKee of Mid-Major Madness. How you doing tonight, Chris?
Wonderful, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So just first things first, we just want to talk a little bit of Louisiana Tech basketball tonight, maybe touch on a little bit of Conference USA, and then we'll touch on your book that you've written here recently as well. So just first things first, I know you had a story out a couple of weeks ago about Louisiana Tech's struggles to open Conference USA play, where you had the opportunity to talk to Coach Conkle. Just talk a little bit about your article and what you've seen from the Bulldogs thus far.
Yeah, I had the chance to speak with Coach Conkle a few weeks back, and this was before Jalen Harris had left the team, so he was in a little bit more of an optimistic mood. They're coming off two back-to-back 23-win seasons, and so I think had a little bit higher hopes. And then with the loss of Harris, I wrote about how they were doing a little bit of soul-searching. They went and lost 5 of 6 and finally have sort of, reined things in, playing against a little bit more of the bottom half of Conference USA. But basically just about the gist of the article, which you can check out on Mid-Major Madness, is just about how Louisiana Tech's been soul searching, and they seemed a little lost. And once they lost Harris, young team, a team going in with only one senior, and I think that reflected. I mean, they're all kind of looking around for leadership, and who's going to be the guy? And it looks like they're slowly trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and when you look at a young team that obviously is looking for leadership, you mix in the fact that here recently, point guard, you know, all-conference USA, freshman of the year, Daquan Bracey has been out as well for Louisiana Tech. And you only have one senior in Jacoby Boykins. I guess you would say the best way for young players to really come into their own is, you know, just by figuring it out themselves on the floor, I guess, right?
I mean, that's it, you know. I mean, this wasn't the year I think that Coach Conkle wanted to do that, but circumstances has led to it. And so, hey, next man up, who's the next guy up? And I think, you know, Jacoby Boykins, he's got to shoulder the load as well. You know, he's the senior. He's the guy. Someone's got to make up for those points. And, you know, I think, sure, there's an opportunity for young guys to do it, but I think Boykins really has to shoulder the load.
Yeah, and when you look at what Coach Conkle has done his first 2 years in Ruston, he won 46 games, 23 wins in each of his first 2 years. He comes from the Jim Larrañaga coaching tree. Just from what you know about Coach Conkle, I know fans in Ruston have been, you know, in a way frustrated with how the season has gone. You know, from your perspective, how much talent does he really have as a head coach?
You know, that remains to be seen. You know, the team is so young. I think, obviously, they need some pieces. This was a year maybe that maybe he could have stepped up his recruiting a little bit and added them. You know, coming in, people looked at them as perhaps the second or third best team in Conference USA. So I don't think maybe this was the best time for him to be looking for guys who, you know, who is that next talent. He's got to address that, or else, you know, he may be on the hot seat if he doesn't address this in the offseason and bring in some new talent. But to be honest, I haven't been blown away from the bits and pieces of the games I have seen. I caught quite a bit of the game against Stephen F. Austin, which is another team that I've covered quite extensively over the past few years. I spoke quite a bit with their coach, Kyle Keller. And I look back to that game, you know, which they lost very closely, as, you know, they were two teams right on the same path, both Stephen F. Austin and Louisiana Tech, obviously different conferences, but they were both on that same path, young teams, still searching for that identity. And I think, you know, with the Lumberjacks edging that, that was one of those tipping points in the season for Louisiana Tech to sort of head towards that slide.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at Conference USA as a whole, Western Kentucky is, you know, vastly improved under Rick Stansberry. Kermit Davis is doing an exceptional job at Middle Tennessee. Then you look at what Marshall's doing. UAB has a quality program year in and year out. Old Dominion is having a quality program. It looks like Conference USA will potentially get two teams into the big dance. You know, what are your thoughts on the conference from an overall perspective and how they rank up against other mid-majors around the country?
I think it's the cream of the crop as far as, you know, mid-major conference. It's definitely up there as one of the premier ones. I mean, Middle Tennessee speaks for themselves, right? I mean, that's a heck of a basketball team. Well, they went about 31 games last year. And, you know, obviously they lose a couple guys to the pro in Reggie Upshaw, and can't forget who else they lost. But I spoke to Kermit Davis as well before the start of the season. He was real confident in his team heading into the season. I mean, he understood that, hey, how do you improve on 31-5? But he still had the pieces there. You know, Giddy Potts, this guy is as good as – he's going to get a look in the pros. You know, he's not going to get drafted, but this is a guy that's probably going to get a, you know, definitely a summer league invite and then hopefully try to work his way into a camp. And to me, you know, Western Kentucky, you know, I mean, look at the recruiting they've been doing over the past few years. It's only a matter of time before they sort of, you know, stepped up into the upper echelon of Conference USA. But to me, the big surprise has been Old Dominion. I mean, you know, this wasn't a team. I think they've sort of slid in where Louisiana Tech was supposed to be. Old Dominion's become that team and has taken advantage of a little bit of the mishaps of Louisiana Tech. As well, UAB, I mean, they're still kind of there 4-3 right now in the conference, 13-7 overall. But I think bigger things were maybe expected out of them as well.
Chris, Beck Haynes here. I know you live in Canada. I grew up in Alaska, and I used to get all kind of jokes about how we have, you know, I didn't even know there were sports up there. And basketball was an indoor sport, so it thrived, in my opinion. So I'm just curious, especially with Tech having a former Canadian on the roster and Olu Asolu, just talk a little bit about the growth of Canadian basketball and how we're seeing more and more college players come from Canada.
I mean, the growth of basketball here is outstanding. Aside from writing for, you know, Mid-Major Madness and a few other sites, I do play-by-play for a school called the Athlete Institute in Orangeville Prep. They have two teams. That's where Jamal Murray, who plays for the Denver Nuggets, as well as Thon Maker with the Milwaukee Bucks, both of them came out of that program about 2 or 3 years ago. That program alone has dozens of guys all across the NCAA. There's a young guy right now that I think may be the ACC Freshman of the Year named O'Shea Brissett, who's playing up at Syracuse. He's at an Athlete Institute in Toronto. And as well, one of his teammates, Howard Washington Jr., is down at Syracuse. Not quite as storied, but you look at number one recruit class of 2018, R.J. Barrett. I don't know if you guys saw any of the U19 World Championships this past summer where Canada won the U19 Championship. They beat USA in the semifinal, and this was with, you know, all those big studs that are scattered across the NCAA and are going to be there next year. And R.J. Barrett put up, I think, 38 or 39 on his own. He's just absolutely dominant. Take a moment on YouTube. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes long, but it's all R.J. Barrett's 38 points against USA. The guy is just outstanding. I mean, you look at some of the other recruits coming out. Michigan's got a kid named Ignis Brzdikas, who's a five-star recruit out of Toronto. He's going to go there. This kid is a two-handed player. He's going to be a starter next year. And as well, another kid out of Toronto, actually he's from Montreal, but is now living in Toronto, named Lugans Dort, who's also a five-star recruit that's just signed to play at Arizona State for Bobby Hurley. This kid's going to make an immediate impact. There's so many other guys, even on the mid-major level. And even when I spoke to Coach Conkle, I said, hey, you know, why do you got no Canadians? Where's the love on that? But, I mean, the growth of the game. I watched a documentary a few months back. LeBron James' company, he has a production company called Uninterrupted, and they put out a documentary called The Carter Effect. It's about Vince Carter's effect on him coming to Toronto back in the late 90s and how all these, you know, basketball players, guys like Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph that are in the NBA now, you know, look to Vince as the reason why they got into basketball. So, you know, it's sort of the growth is outstanding. I mean, you can go look over at Kentucky. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's turned out to be the best player this year for Kentucky so far. I mean, they're just all over the NCAA. I just released my list this past week on Mid-Major Madness of the top 15 Canadians playing at mid-major schools. I've got Malcolm Duvivier, number one, up at Akron. He was a grad transfer from Oregon State, played 3 years at Oregon State, played in the NCAA tournament, and, you know, he's putting up big numbers for Akron. But there's just, I counted about 77 Canadians playing at mid-majors right now, and I've yet to get to the, you know, the Power 5, Power 6 schools and count them, but I know there's several dozen more. You're looking at about 125 to 130 Canadians playing NCAA division basketball right now.
So, Chris, you're telling me Conkle needs to get a jacket and head up north.
You're darn right. You know, the secret is out. You know, these games, I just did another game at another school called the Rise Academy. It's another big school. They've got a couple recruits that are, you know, 3 or 4-star kids that probably some high admin major players. And there's just so much. You know, every week you see, you know, I was chatting with one of the coaches from the University of Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago up in Toronto at the games. I was chatting with the coaches from Elon a few weeks back. I mean, Vanderbilt, I saw a few weeks ago up in Toronto as well. They just signed Simi Chatou, who's another 4- or 5-star recruit, elite player. He's a McDonald's High School All-American, another kid out of Toronto that's committed to Vanderbilt next year. But, yeah, I mean, the talent's here. You know, keep in mind the Toronto area, you're looking, you know, the southern, the population around is about 10 million people, right? So, I mean, just numbers, odds are, you're going to find some players and also kids up here. They're not playing hockey anymore, you know, because whether it's Vince Carter or whoever, basketball has become the sport in the winter here in Canada.
Absolutely, Chris. Well, final question before we let you get out of here. I know you're the former agent for the hip-hop group, the Wu-Tang Clan, and recently you've written a book on the group about being on the road with them. So just tell our listeners a little bit about the book and your experience touring with the group.
Yeah, prior to working in sports, I worked in music for 20 years. You know, I was an agent for dozens of Grammy-winning bands, you know, Rihanna, Akon, The Roots, and the one that I find people were most fascinated with is the Wu-Tang Clan. I worked with various members of the Wu-Tang Clan for about well over a decade, maybe about 12, 13 years or so, and it just basically tells some behind-the-scenes stories of what it's like being on the road with them. I mean, they've got such a global fan base. I mean, it's such a weird brand. I mean, I see, like, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids walking around with Wu-Tang logos on their shirts, whether it's in London, England, Manhattan, or Toronto. Some of these kids don't really know the music. They just know the brand. And so hopefully, you know, some of these stories, telling a few behind-the-scenes stories. I'll tell you one quick one that is sort of PG, I can tell you. Ghostface Killah is one of the main guys in the group. First night of the tour, we're in Montreal, and he sits, and obviously Montreal is, you know, the French part of Canada, and he has breakfast with me, and he says, look, Chris, everything's going great, money's been great, tour's fantastic, but we got a problem with the hotel. I said, well, what's the problem? It's a five-star hotel. Like, what was the issue? He says, well, they only have French TVs. You can't be putting me in any hotels with no French TVs. And, you know, this is a guy that didn't understand. This guy's traveled the world. He doesn't understand when you're in a French-speaking country, some of the channels are going to be in French. And so I just kind of stared back blankly at him and said, I'll see what I can do. You know, like, how do you even answer that? And so just a bunch of stories like that, some behind-the-scenes fails, backstage stuff, and what it's like being on a tour bus with the Wu-Tang Clan.
Absolutely, Chris. Great stuff tonight. We loved having you on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How can our listeners follow you online?
I got a Twitter. My Twitter is at Mr. McKee. That's MRMCKEE. The best way, you know, I'm always tweeting my articles, pictures, different stuff about young Canadian basketball prospects that, you know, maybe Coach Conkle could take a look at and keep an eye on some of these guys I'm posting about.
Well, if Coach Conkle doesn't do it, me and Ben will be up there to do it. We appreciate you, Chris, and thanks for calling in.
I appreciate having you. Thank you so much.
Chris McKee, Mid-Major Madness. Some tantalizing stuff right there. Interesting guy. I know we didn't touch on a ton of Louisiana Tech basketball, but certainly an interesting guy. Certainly should be the spokesperson for Canadian basketball, if you ask me.
No doubt. I'm pumped. I'm moving back. I'm going up north. I'm back in.
You went on your honeymoon to Canada.
Yeah, I did. Banff National Park. I recommend it to anybody. Not a lot of basketball up there, I don't think, but I just wasn't in the right city, I guess.
Absolutely not. So that's Chris McKee, Mid-Major Madness. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mr. McKee. We're going to take a quick timeout. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit of Dunkin' Dog basketball. Dunkin' Dogs host Southern Miss Saturday night inside the Thomas Assembly Center, 6 p.m. tip. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Whatever you're doing this year, Fairway Carts in Minden has the vehicle you need. From an easy-go golf cart in gas or electric for the links or around the neighborhood, to easy-go utility carts for tough jobs, to whisper-quiet bad boy buggies for the silent dependability hunters need most, Fairway Carts delivers. Plus a complete line of parts and accessories to make your choice one of a kind. Fairway Carts, proud to support Tech Athletics. Visit us in Minden or online at fairwaycarts.net.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. In the previous segment, we had on Chris McKee, the biggest Canadian basketball fan in the country. According to him, Coach Conkle should head up to Canada and bring down 5 4-star studs. He named every single one of them for us, and litter the Bulldog basketball program with Canadians and head to a Final Four. Your thoughts on what Chris had to tell us in the previous segment?
Well, I think he's got a good point. When I was when I lived in Alaska, that my high school, another rival high school, I can't remember this guy's name, but he went to Kentucky and did well there, and that was, I mean, we had a couple. Mario Chalmers, I watched him play in high school.
He's still in the league.
He asked my sister on a date, and she said no, and I remind my brother-in-law every year.
Really?
Yep. So Alaska, snow, indoor sports, I mean, it's all – there's some talent up there, and I would imagine so in Canada too. I mean, Chris sure thinks so.
Yeah,
so.
And we've seen it with, you know, Olu Ashilu a few years ago. He's a, you know, 1,000
– electric.
He could really dunk. He thought he could shoot the three, but he couldn't. I think he scored 1,000 points in his career before he graduated, went to play his final year
at
Oregon for eligibility. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's still playing. I believe it's in Japan or something. Maybe him and Colby Cam are linking up. Maybe it's Colby Cam's tight end out there.
Maybe. I mean, I think we have a lot of Tech athletes that are international superstars.
So. Yeah, Hunter Lee.
Hunter Lee.
Yeah, Tech's definitely making waves across the globe. We'd like to thank our listeners in Melbourne, Australia as well.
Yeah.
So looking at Conference USA basketball, just looking at it from a standings perspective, you look at the top of the league, Old Dominion, Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky are tied atop the standings at 6-1. Marshall, a game back at 5-2. Then you have UAB at 4-3, and then you really find yourself in a cluster. You know, the rest of the league is separated by two games. Tech's 3-5, but, you know, you look at 3-5, an opportunity to get to that four-win mark, which will push you all the way up to fifth in the league. So Saturday night's a big night for Louisiana Tech when they host Southern Miss. We know what Southern Miss is in basketball. They're not great. It'll be interesting to see if Daquan Bracey returns from his back injury. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the play of Amari Archibald and Anthony DeRuji this past week in Tech's two big wins against North Texas and Rice. Looking at the North Texas game on Thursday night, Tech wins 66-65. DeRuji knocks down two key free throws with less than a second to go to give Tech the win on the night. DeRuji had 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. Archibald tripped in another 21 points. When you look at the box score, it's really crazy, to be honest with you, to have the freshmen, those two guys along with Jacoby Pemberton and Xavier Christian combined for 51 of Tech's 66 points. Jacoby Boykins, where you at?
Yeah, Boykins has traditionally been my favorite player. You know that.
He's still my favorite player.
I mean, every time he shoots, I just yell Boykins at the top of my lungs. And
it's going down.
It's going down. You know it is. Unfortunately, there's been a few times where it hasn't, and we wish it would have. So, I mean, I'm not mad. I like to see other players step up and have an impact, and especially looking in the future. Boykins is a senior, and so I'm definitely interested in who's coming up behind him. And, we've had some – DeRuji and Archibald have just really stepped up, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and when you look at, you know, Tech started a stretch, those home games against North Texas and Rice started a stretch of when Tech will play 7 of their next 9 at home. When you look at the two road games at Florida Atlantic and at FIU, those are two teams that currently are 3-4 in the league, traditionally not very good on the hardwood, but we know, we've seen it, it's hard to go – to Miami and to Boca Raton to play both those teams. So I'm thinking, you know, Tech picks up a win Saturday night against Southern Miss. If you go and win at the two Florida schools, you really have a chance to make up some ground within the league.
Right, and, you know, with who knows what Lane Kiffin, if he's going to show up to those games too, so that could be some adversity that Tech would have to overcome. So, but yeah, even just going, you know, splitting in
Florida.
Yeah,
even if you did split. I don't think it's bad.
I mean, every game is going to help. So
yeah, and then after those two games, you look at home games against Charlotte, who's down this year, and then it's a gauntlet. It's three straight home games against Old Dominion, UAB, Middle Tennessee. You want to climb back into the standings? Well, here you go. Here's your chance. Beat Old Dominion, beat UAB, beat Middle Tennessee, and you're back in this thing. But I don't think Tech can do it unless they get fully healthy.
Right, that's going to be a good chance for Tech faithful to show up and pack the tack, if you will. I don't even know if that's one of the pack the tack games, but they should be all three of them.
Saturday night against Southern Miss is a whiteout, Mike Whiteout.
A Mike Whiteout? We're still doing that?
Yeah, it's not a Mike Whiteout, but it is a whiteout.
Those are the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then, you know, talking a little bit more on the injury front, Bracey's been down for quite some time with a back injury. You know, he's really day-to-day. I know Coach Conkle mentioned this morning that he's got to show the ability to go through three or four practices with no pain, you know, nothing hindering him, and then he'll be back out on the floor. I don't know if you were at the game on Saturday night. I don't think you were, but Janiah White had a real scare early in that first half where he went down. It looked to be some kind of heart issue. You know, from what we've heard, I think, you know, pretty much everybody is his thing that he had placed in his heart.
Pacemaker.
His pacemaker accidentally went off. So it appears that he's going to be okay. just a scary, scary situation for the big seven-footer.
Yeah, and this is not the first time that he's had problems with his heart, and so it's just going forward, you just kind of wonder what he'll be able to do, and is it worth it, honestly. So we hope Janai gets healthy, and we hope he can come back and play, but we also hope that's with the blessings of the doctors and not just his raw passion for basketball.
Absolutely, and in Janai's absence, sophomore Oliver Powell has really stepped up his game and is playing extremely well in the year. He's averaging, you know, 6 points, four rebounds, nothing that really jumps off the page. But Powell gives Tech a legitimate low post score, has a nice right-handed, left-handed hook shot that he can really, you know, he can go get his own shot from down there. And it's been nice to see him step up in his sophomore year as well. When you look at Tech, you look back at this year, Beck, you know, you never envisioned that Jalen Harris is going to leave the program. You never envision that Daquan Bracey is going to get hurt. You never envision that Harrison Curry, junior college transfer, you know, stretched for, was expected to maybe fill that Eric McCree role, has only played one game. 6'10 junior college transfer Kyle McKinley hasn't contributed. It's really been a really, really tough year. And I really want to talk, you know, a little bit about the whole Jalen Harris thing, because, you know, addition by subtraction, call it what it is, but Tech has struggled to score the basketball without having a guy on the floor that can really go get his own shot. And I think that's really big for Tech here in this late signing period to go out, find a guy who can really score the basketball.
Right. I agree. And just to give Bleed Tech Blue ins fans a little insight to what happened. We were driving to the bowl game
when we
in
found
Dallas,
out. Yeah.
And I'm not even going to say what you said in the back seat, but Ben was on the computer, and me and Sutton were sitting up front and driving, and you know, that's when we found out about Jalen Harris. And so it's, I mean, like you said, addition by subtraction. I mean,
call it what it. We're not saying it is addition by subtraction, but some are saying that. But at the end of the day, he was a good player.
Right, he was, and that hurts to lose. But I mean, Chris mentioned it in the last segment. I mean, Tech is soul searching right now, and we had some players that Tech had some players that we thought maybe would contribute a little more and just haven't yet or not. I mean, but they're going to get their chance, and especially if people keep dropping like flies. So it's just, I'm just not super worried about it. I mean, I know it's early, but we're in conference play, so we need to be
picking it up.
You need to be picking it up, but I think it'll come. And I mean, I don't know. It's Tech basketball. You know, this is, we get kind of used to this stuff.
And when you look at, you know, just on the subject of Jalen Harris transferring, you look at, you know, college sports in general, basketball in particular, I think there was nearly 1,000 players that transferred after the collegiate season of 2016-2017. Beck, you and I are a part of a generation that is quick to run when things get difficult, when guys face adversity, whatever it may be. You know, I'm not going to say what can be done to stop this, but you and I both have young, young kids. What can we do, maybe as parents, to teach kids that, you know, maybe adversity is good for you? Fight through it. Don't be so quick to run from something that's maybe a little more difficult than you anticipated.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. And you know, I think kids are kind of like their own agents right now, you know, and they have
they
to
are.
They and
along
know,
with their parents.
Right. And so with social media, that being a big part of it too, and I think they have to, it's a battle. Like, what I always wonder is, do I go to a big school with good coaching and sit on the bench for 2 years and then hope to play the next 2 years, or do I go to a school, everybody wants to play and they all want to be one and done. And so they go to a school, and if they don't start or they're not having a good year or whatever, they need to get to that next school so they can be one and done. I mean, I don't think graduating college, I don't think is necessarily the goal for a lot of these players, because you get into the NBA at 22 or being a star and getting to the NBA at 19 or 20, you got two more
years.
More significant. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that that's just more of a, I have to do what I can do to get to the next level. And so I think if it doesn't work out, there's not a lot of time, quote unquote, to push through the adversity and to try to, you know, I just don't think the system is set up for them to be able to do that.
Well, and this is not an issue that is directly related to Jalen Harris either by any means. It's also something that relates to, you look in past years, you know, Kedar Davis had injuries. He's now playing at Indiana State. Deshaun Robinson. You look at Deion Griffin. You look at Xavion Stapleton. You know, Tech has had a plethora of guys transferring. And for me, a lot of it is, and it's so difficult. You know, I've played a college sport, and I've dealt with my parents, and, you know, your parents are always your biggest fan. Right. And your parents have that right, and they do it because they love you. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to tell your parents, hey, like, I can take care of this. I'm on this team. I'm going to help this team win in whatever way I can help this team win. And this is where I chose to go to school.
Right. And I think you played college sports. I played intramurals. So I get
same
it.
Thing.
Same thing. I get it. So, but I think that like they have, I don't know, it's just this mentality of like, I have to get in. I have to do what I need to do. And
I need to score 20 points tonight. And right. If I don't, somebody else will let me.
Right. Exactly. And just with, like I said, with social media and stuff, they come from these high schools where they are the man, and
yeah.
they get here, and the team has been all about them, and now they have to be a team player, which we've heard is Jalen
yeah.
Harris. That was part of the problem, and so maybe as a parent, teaching your kid to be humble and to be a team player and to work hard, and I don't know. I mean, that's easier said than done, but those are the things that you got 10 really ginormous egos in the gym, you know, and it's like,
and it's always an interesting discussion, and it's a discussion that. You know, it's came out this week, I think, that the NCAA is voting on changing transfer rules, that players don't have to sit out and this and that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't mind players sitting out. I think that if you choose to leave the school that you chose to go to initially, that you in a way deserve to. And I know the argument is, well, the coaches don't have to sit out. Well, they're the coach. They're the adult. They've done what you've done before. That's really my opinion. I mean, is that your thoughts?
Yep, I agree completely.
So we're going to get to a timeout. It's always fun to talk a little Dunkin' Dog basketball. After the break, who knows what we'll get into, but stay tuned. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
The new year is here, so let's start something new at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. Starting this year, any new or used purchase from Brennan Dodge will come with oil changes free for life. That's right. Your new or used car from Brennan Dodge will come with free oil changes for as long as you own your car. Just our way of saying thank you for the many years of support this community has shown us. And the all-new Jeep Wrangler is just a few weeks away, so don't miss a chance to test drive the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Let's start something new this year at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Short segment here. We're going to wrap this segment up around 708, 709. Fred Siegel coming at you live from Florida, talking a little old takes exposed, calling people out on Twitter. But we just want to talk a little bit about Tech recruiting. I know we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. Tech does have 14 players signed. When you look at that early signing period, Tech filled You know, virtually all of their needs coming into the next year, I think especially with signing four linebackers, I think that is a spot that Tech can really benefit from a signee standpoint, especially with three of those guys being junior college signees. As far as running backs, Jared Kraft, Boston Scott, they both leave the program due to graduation. DeAndre Marcus, Elijah Hines, two running backs, Marcus from Ruston, Louisiana, Ruston High School, and Elijah Hines out of Port Arthur, Texas. All signs point to those guys signing on signing day, February 7th, which is right around the corner. And I'm excited to see those guys put on the pads. I know that if you are a member of BleedTechBlue.com, we've had some just some lengthy discussion about the running back position and the importance of the position. A lot of times it's said that, you know, especially when you look at it in the NFL, it's easy to replace a running back. You know, running backs are a dime a dozen. They don't last long. That's kind of my thoughts on the whole situation. What are your thoughts? How essential is it for you to have a great running back?
I think we ain't got Colby Cameron out there right now, you know, and Jeff Driscoll and a lot of those guys. I mean, that was more of a pass heavy offense. So with Jamar, what was he throwing 13, 15 times a game last year?
25.
I'm way off. I mean, maybe he was completing 13 to 15.
Yeah, that's probably right.
A lot of that, you know, Tech's offense, it's a lot of, you know, swing passes and that kind of stuff or whatever you call those. And so that's how Boston Scott was used a lot. And so I think from that perspective, it's going to hurt. From another one, I just think it takes a little pressure off Jamar to have a good running back. And Boston was electric with them quick moving little legs, and he could just bust up the middle, you know, 70 yards pop, no problem. So I don't know. If we don't find a playmaker in that department, I think defenses are going to be real quick to know what to do with Jamar.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, me, I don't know why, but the story of Jacquees Dancy has me a huge believer in him. Right. And I'm a believer in that you give him a full offseason to where he can get his weight back to where he should be, you know, around that 6 foot, 200-pound range. He's going to be able to hopefully, you know, take 13 to 15 touches a game. Then you mix in Israel Tucker. He's a 2016 signee out of Rummel High School. If you have a chance, go watch his tape. He's really electric on tape. He tore his ACL in 2016, so he was just really getting his feet back under him in his minimal time he saw this year. I believe he saw 9 carries. So I think when you look at those two, I think they can handle the workload. For me, it's, you know, you're going to need a third running back. You're going to need a fourth running back. Now, where does Tech go? Does Bobby Holly get more carries? Does a former walk-on D. Fleming step up into the spotlight and take some carries? Does Coach Holtz and his staff shift Cam McKnight over from receiver to running back to help out back there? Or do one of these guys, DeAndre Marcus, Elijah Hines, do they help out? Does an athlete out of Plaquemine, Wayne Toussaint, he's electric with the ball in his hands. Does he see time at running back? I think there are a lot of question marks at running back, and I think it's important to have a playmaker at the running back position.
What about Smoke Harris? Is he just too little?
No, I think Smoke Harris, you know, I think he's more of a receiver. He's more of that guy that you want to get the ball in his hands.
Right.
You know, whether it's a reverse, whether it's a quick screen pass, whether it's an easy handoff. I just don't think he's that true running back. I think he's more of a guy that's split out wide, punt return, kick return type guy.
Right. I have some friends from St. Francisville that kept up with West Feliciana during the playoffs, and so we were at their house watching, and he was just, like you said, just somebody you want to have the ball in their hands. And so, I mean, I think hopefully Tech will be creative in using him. He was somebody that was just a ton of fun to watch.
Absolutely. So when you look at the rest of this Tech recruiting class as we head down into the, I think tomorrow will be 2 weeks from signing day, you can join us on BleedTechBlue.com. $9.95 a month. I know we've had, you know, quite a few people join here lately. I don't think they would regret it. We cover it really, really well. We have all the inside information on Louisiana Tech recruiting. I know Tech's really looking to get an offensive lineman here late, whether it be a junior college guy or a high school offensive lineman. So you can join us at BleedTechBlue.com to see who's visiting, who has visited, who's really on Tech's radar, who may end up on Tech's radar due to a Power 5 school dropping them off, just any and everything. We would love to talk about it with you on BleedTechBlue.com. If you have any questions, reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. BleedTechBlue.com, the best Louisiana Tech coverage there is when it comes to recruiting. And here we are, 2 weeks from the late signing period. Louisiana Tech has signed 14 players. They'll look to close the class with around 19 or 20. So that's kind of our recruiting update for this week. We're going to go ahead, take us an early timeout before we come back for our last segment. We'll be joined by Fred Siegel, Old Takes Exposed. Fred has some good stuff. We're going to kind of talk to him a little bit about where he got the idea from, kind of how he operates on a day-to-day basis. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston West Monroe. There are no bigger Tech fans than the Timms family at Fairway Carts in Minden. And there's no better place to buy a new golf cart, side-by-side, or utility cart than Fairway Carts. Fairway sells nothing but the best. Easy Go golf cars for the links or the neighborhood. Bad boy buggies for that off-roading you do. And Cushman utility carts that mean work. Come see our full line at Fairway Carts in Minden. And go Bulldogs! Visit us online at fairwaycarts.net.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Louisiana is more than just a place to visit. It's our way of life, and that means being outdoors. Join the nearly 2 million people who camped, bike, paddle, and hiked our state parks last year as we invite you to do the same. Every corner of Louisiana has something to offer, from the world-class fishing at Toledo Bend to paddling at Fontainebleau to exploring the ancient mounds at Poverty Point World Heritage Site. So fill up your car and staycation right here in our home, Louisiana.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. As we wrap it up, we're joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Fred Siegel of Old Takes Exposed. How you doing tonight, Fred?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We love having you on, obviously. You've created, you know, quite a Twitter account. It's one that, you know, I've been following. I like to say, you know, back to your early days of running it, I find it as, you know, just, it's just funny. I think it's funny what you do, and it really provides some great humor, and I really think that, you know, that's really what Twitter's about with, you know, we live in an age where so many people are looking to make the latest and greatest hot take.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's all people do.
That is all they do. And when you look at your Twitter account, Old Takes Exposed, it's obviously become a phenomenon. How did you come up with the idea, and how long did it really take for you to execute the account and, you know, really get it rolling on all cylinders?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't create the account for it to become like this. That just came by, you know, it just happened to come that way. But when I started, it was like 2 years ago. It was around Thanksgiving 2015. And, I've been using Twitter for years to follow sports and everything. And I just would see all these reporters and journalists pat themselves on the back when they got something right. They retweeted, said, I just said this 5 minutes ago or 5 days ago. And I used to remember all the things that they would tweet that were wrong, especially things that would be about my team. And that's what I realized people do. People remember everything that any reporter says about their team. It sticks in their head for years. And if it ever becomes wrong, they'll come and bring it back. And I just decided, hey, maybe I'll just create an account that will just make fun of them for being wrong every time it's there, because it's easy to search for these tweets on Twitter. So I did it, and it caught on pretty quickly, and then by February of 2016, a couple months later, Sports Illustrated picked it up, wrote an article about it, tweeted about it a couple times, and it went nuts. The thing blew up. I probably had 2,500 followers when the Sports Illustrated article came out,
And then and by the time everything was over, there was 3 days after that, I had 15,000.
Wow. Fred, and that's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, go ahead.
And then by, you know, after everyone knew about it, it just kept going and going and going. It's grown a lot since then.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we talked about this earlier, but Ben and I are in a fantasy football league, and we admire you, and we send your tweets around because, honestly, we like to pull up old things. We take screenshots of our conversations and like to pull up old things that people said about players they thought would pan out. So that's right up our alley. Just as far as finding takes, I mean, obviously there's so many hot takes on just about every single topic you can imagine. Where do you store all these? I mean, are you taking screenshots, or how do you pull these out daily?
Well, surprisingly enough, I don't really have that big of a vault. And when I say I'm writing things down, that's just like for fun to say that. But I don't necessarily have a whole big vault worth of stuff. I'm really good at searching Twitter. I've become so good at it that whenever a topic comes, I can search for something really quickly. So it's usually at the time of the take. So at the time something comes into fruition. So let's say that, you know, like today everyone's talking about how Victor Oladipo for the Pacers made the All-Star game, but back in July when the Pacers traded Paul George for Oladipo, everyone was clowning him.
Right.
So at this time, I'll go back and look for those. But now, that's what I used to do. Now everyone just sends them to me. Because all across the country, everyone remembers everyone's takes, like I said. So let's say something about the Atlanta Hawks happens. You know, a player does really well who wasn't supposed to be good, and there's a million Hawks fans from Atlanta who follow my feed. Well, not a million, but who remembered that this reporter said that the Hawks were going to stink because it sticks in their head. So they immediately pull it out, send it to me, and so anytime anything happens, I'm just getting sent a bunch of stuff. Now, it's a lot of things to work through because I get the same things sent to me over and over, about 25 of the same things at one time. You know, I have to look through all of them. Sometimes they're not very good. And my DMs, I get 150 a day. So it's tough to go through all of it. Sometimes I miss a lot of it.
Well, that's pretty cool, really, how the account has evolved. And in a way, I guess it does make your job easier as far as not having to find the takes, but now you have to go through each take individually. And just following you on Twitter, I've realized that you're a big Florida Gators fan, and us and Rustin, we're real familiar with Mike White, being as he was the former Louisiana Tech basketball coach, now at Florida. Is Florida really the university that you root for, and kind of your thoughts on how Mike White has done through his 2.5 seasons in Gainesville?
Oh, yeah. I'm a University of Florida alum. I graduated from University of Florida. I grew up in South Florida in Miami, but my father was always a Gator. My father went to UF, so he instilled being a Gator fan on me when I was growing up, and then I graduated from University of Florida. I'm a diehard Gator fan. By far, my favorite teams are University of Florida football and basketball. In terms of Mike White, I'm very impressed. I was impressed with him from day one. He's really professional. That's one of the one things I've noticed about him. He's always a cool customer, and he's good. I mean, the University of Florida basketball program has been it's been treated like a power because of the way Billy Donovan had success there. But it's really not set up to be a huge power. It's really it's a football school, and it doesn't really resonate necessarily with all the big recruits nowadays. They go to like Duke or North Carolina or whatever. But Billy Donovan made it great. And when he left, it was something along the lines of we were wondering if he could keep it, you know, somewhat similar. And he kind of has. The first year he had a real tough time because we didn't have a lot of the talent wasn't as good as it normally is. But he's been great. He's really been able to kind of rejuvenate the program from when Billy left, and I'm really impressed with him. It almost gets to the point where you don't want him to have too much success because then, you know, Duke's going to steal him.
We have that problem here in Ruston a lot.
Well, yeah, you guys have to have a problem with every coach. And that's unfortunate, but it's going to be the way it is because you can't pay them like the other big schools do. University of Florida can pay them. It's just that the blue bloods, they'll probably go to. Other than that, he'll stay.
Absolutely. We are big fans of Mike White. And like you said, he's real professional. He was real good in the Ruston community. And we're really impressed with what he has done in Florida. And we're really happy for him and his family. As far as Louisiana Tech, I know we talked a little bit about it before you came on. But were you able to find anything in your vault of people making some rough takes about the Bulldogs?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to find because I don't really follow much. I don't really know the players really well, and unfortunately it's hard for me to really get the people talking about specific players with Louisiana Tech because there's not as many people talking about them, one, first of all, and in terms of reporters, it's only going to be like the local reporters talking about it as much. But the bowl game, I didn't get any like real hot takes on the bowl game, but I know that everyone thought SMU was going to win.
Yeah, everyone did. And quite frankly,
and I didn't get it. Well, I was so gung ho about Louisiana Tech winning that game because, you know, I know you guys like Sonny Dykes; he's great. But I mean, him coming in and coaching a team he's never even had any of the play, he's never coached any of the players yet. It was a recipe for disaster.
It was a disaster.
It's just like, are you kidding me? Like, who's going to coach these guys? He doesn't even know the players. Like, how does he even know the personnel? He's never even watched them practice. And he's going to come in and coach them to a win? It made no sense. I don't even know how they were favored by 5. It made no sense.
Fred, I wish you could have been there when you were just watching Sonny on the sideline. He had a fresh new sweatshirt on that I'm sure was just given to him. And he was, you know, a huddle would happen, and he would kind of like be on the outside looking in, kind of like, hey, can I get in here? So we kind of felt the same way about that. And then, maybe you don't got any Louisiana Tech hot takes because we're just all real level-headed fans. You know, that's probably what it is.
Well, and one more question I have for you about Jeff Driscoll. And Jeff,
Jeff Driscoll, that's right.
Yeah, he had a lot of success at Louisiana Tech and, you know, great guy, nice guy and all that, but I know he really struggled in Gainesville. Did you ever find any hot takes on him? I know he was like the number one quarterback in the country coming out of high school. So,
oh, yeah, he was. You know, he's from Oviedo, Florida, which is right outside of Orlando. It's right near UCF. And he was the top guy. I mean, because he's an athletic freak. Literally a freak athletically. And he and Blake Bortles were in the same year. And Blake Bortles was like the underscored guy. He was like number 2 in the state or number 2 in the city. He just was always behind Jeff Driscoll's shadow. Jeff Driscoll was a real tough, I really respected him at UF because he never complained. He took a lot of lumps. And he took a lot of guff from people. His problem at UF was that, from a decision-making standpoint, he would make too many bad decisions in the pocket. And then by the end of his tenure in 2014, I guess it got to him because he wasn't accurate at all. He would miss a lot of passes, and then he got benched. But in fairness, he had a bunch of offensive coordinators since he was there, a bunch of coaches. So it was tough for him. Now, I know he went to the air raid with you guys, and he was good. He was really good. But in terms of the SEC and in terms of the big time where you couldn't make all these mistakes, he made too many of them, and it lost enough of our games. Now, the first year that he was – his first year quarterback for UF, the starter, was 2012, and we went 12-1. Or 11-1, and then lost the bowl game. But the offense still struggled that year. The thing about it is now everybody really is giving Will Muschamp, like retroactively, like I do, giving Muschamp a lot of guff because we had Jacoby Brissett too, and he was benched in favor of Driscoll the whole year, and then Brissett transferred. But the only thing I'll never forgive Jeff Driscoll because he had such a bad game against Miami, and I hate Miami, and lost that game. But other than that, great kid. Just never complained. Took a lot of crap at UF. a lot of it.
Well, we're not that sad that that worked out that way. We loved Jeff Driscoll. he had a great career here, and he was assimilated
NFL,
well. Yeah, he is.
He's with the Cincinnati Bengals. So.
Right, and so he.
Yeah,
it worked out all right.
It worked out great for him. If he improved his decision making, if he improved in the pocket, then he could be a good NFL quarterback. If he is the same way he was back at UF, no chance, because that was his issue. That was his issue. He can make a lot out of nothing sometimes. Good runner.
Yeah, absolutely, Fred. Well, we appreciate you coming on with us tonight, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As always, how can our listeners follow your Twitter account online if they don't already know about it?
Oh, yeah, follow me at Old Takes Exposed. That's Old Takes Exposed, all in one word. And I appreciate you having me. Great to talk to Louisiana Tech people.
Absolutely. Well, have a good one, Fred. Fred Siegel, Old Takes Exposed. Great to have him on tonight. He couldn't really dig Louisiana Tech out of the vault. I guess, Beck, we got to start making some hot takes and get mentioned.
Maybe that's going to be my goal for 2018, get exposed by Fred Siegel on
that. That would be legendary.
Just off the top of your head, is there any maybe hot takes that you can think of, not related to Tech, but maybe from my Twitter account?
Well, you did say that Ben Simmons would be on his couch by now, and he's going to make a pretty good career.
I said 5 years, so he's got three left to really start being terrible.
Well,
I also said the same about Lonzo Ball, and I'm not wrong yet.
Well, here, I can call myself out. Here's a hot take, Old Take Exposed. I said Tech would go 11-1 in the preseason, and, we only lost six games.
Yeah, that's not – I mean – you weren't that far off. It's cold, Tech. It's not freezing cold. It's cold.
Yeah, but he's all about the freezing cold. So always good to have Fred on. It's a great show tonight. It's always good to have you back in. Beck, you coming in next week?
I'll be here, Ben. I had to take a little time off and, let Sutton get in here. But I'll be in as long as you'll have me.
Yeah, I think we got three shows remaining this season. I think we'll take you right up to signing day, maybe right after signing day. We'll continue to cover the Duncan Dogs. You can – join us on BleedTechBlue.com, just $9.95 a month. We have it covered better than anybody. We thank you for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be back next week.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Building, Brister's Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
They wanted to be a Laker, and they can't make it happen, so he plays in Cleveland. And I think he's putting together a Hall of Fame career, any way you look at it. He's putting together a Hall of Fame career, but it's not the career that I expected. I mean, he's got one ring with Cleveland. It feels like he should have multiple rings. If he doesn't win again this year, which I don't expect him to, Tom, he's going to spend all that time in Cleveland making very good money. But I think getting just one ring for Kevin Love, for all of this chaos that he's putting up with LeBron James and all these different coaches, I wonder if it's really worth it to him.
Well, here's one thing is every time that there's been some kind of rumbling about Kevin Love, he goes out and plays great. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of the method to the madness. Because last year when there was rumors, he just played one great game after another.
Let's hear from Teron Liu on this issue, especially the fact that one of his players claimed he couldn't go in a game, and that's always tough to handle.
He couldn't play in the game. He was, had dizziness and lightheadedness, migraine before the game. Steve said he was going to try to play and try to go, and he tried to give it a go, and he couldn't play. So we got him out of the game, and he couldn't play. So the next day, he was still feeling the same way, and Steve communicated that to me, and he was out.
Wow. So for him to say he's got a migraine and he's got these dizzy issues and his team doesn't believe him, they don't believe him. By the way, they do not believe him because they were so upset that he wasn't around the team coming off that embarrassing loss that it leaked out to the media. Several outlets, from Brian Windhorst to Woj to everybody who had the information, it was leaked from the Cleveland Cavaliers players, most likely LeBron James and some of the other leaders there. So it would get to the media and it would make Kevin Love feel uncomfortable. So I think it's fair to speculate that Kevin Love's on the trade block, that LeBron James is probably done with him, because if LeBron was the leader of that team and ran that team the way Tom Brady runs the Patriots, LeBron would have said, hey, get off Kevin's back. He's our brother. He's our teammate. He's not feeling well. Everybody pipe down. This is my team. Show up to practice early tomorrow, and let's get better.
How do you know LeBron didn't say that?
Because we're not sensing. We would hear about it. That would have been leaked, too. It seems like everybody's in separate corners of that locker room looking to see who's going to get traded or fired.
Well, you better hope LeBron leaked that, because if LeBron didn't leak that, there's going to be another meeting about who's leaking stuff.
Well, loose lips. The guys who cover the team, there's a couple of high-profile reporters that cover the team. Cleveland, the Cavaliers have given us more sports information in the last 2 years than maybe any other team.
Unbelievable.
Outside the Warriors, because the Warriors are winning all these big games, and they got guys like Draymond who like to talk, and Steph is a celebrity. But Cleveland gives us as much content as you can imagine.
Not just the Cavaliers either. The Indians.